Alhamdulillah, last week this community had a very successful youth event. We had a huge turnout, alhamdulillah, over 150 kids, or roughly around 150 kids. And the night was full of games, and we had lectures, and alhamdulillah, we even had Qiyam al-Layl. So overall, it was a great success, and we should be happy that we can celebrate these successes, alhamdulillah. And we hope to continue with many more youth events like this in the future, inshallah. Not only do these events bring the youth closer together, but they also are a chance for myself and the organizers and the volunteers to get to know our youth, to understand them a little bit better. And I firmly believe it would be a betrayal of trust for us not to share some of the concerns that we have learned by getting to know our youth. I've consulted with the organizers and volunteers, and we've all come to the conclusion that in order for us to do our jobs better, in order for us to serve this community better, and to make sure that we are progressing as a community with our youth, it is necessary for parents to do their part as well. They need to be aware of some of the concerns and challenges that we are facing. They need to do their part. So today, I'd like to focus on three main points, inshallah ta'ala. And the first one is respect for elders. This seems to be a concept that is eroding. As I was growing up as a young man, this seemed to be standard procedure that you always have to show respect to your elders. But it seems to be increasingly the case that this is lacking in our communities. We know that the Prophet ﷺ says what? لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. That he is not one of us, the one who doesn't have mercy on our young and does not have respect, tawqir, for our elders. Now, alhamdulillah, based on all the reports of how that night went, based on everybody's experience, it seems that the adult volunteers, all those who were organizing, they were very merciful to the young. They did their part. This hadith is so beautifully balanced, right? It says that those who are older, you have to have mercy on the young. But those who are young, you have to have respect for the elders. And I would say that from the adults' perspective, being merciful to the young, alhamdulillah, I heard of no complaints that they were dishing out over-the-top punishments and scolding people and being harsh with people. No. Those who were volunteers, the adults were being very respectful and kind and loving and merciful towards those who were younger. But was that reciprocated? Did we find that the youth were showing their respect to the elders? And unfortunately, the answer is no. I unfortunately find myself, when I'm around these youth, and on that night and other nights as well, I'll constantly find myself teaching them things that I believe parents should be teaching. So, to give you just one simple example, if a young man, let's say in high school, you know, teens, maybe early 20s, sees me and yells out, "Yo, Sheikh!" and does this, and then says, "Where can I get a water? Where can I get like a water bottle?" I find that it is my importance, it's my duty and my position to explain to this young man in the nicest way possible, number one, that in Islam, we meet people, we greet people with Assalamu Alaikum. The Prophet ﷺ described that Muslims have six rights over the other Muslim. And what are they? One of them is, إِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. When you meet your Muslim brother, you say salam to him. And furthermore, even more specifically in Adab al-Mufrad, we find that the Prophet ﷺ mentions what? يُسَلِّمْ الصَّغِيرْ عَلَى الْكَبِيرْ. That the young are supposed to say salam to the elders, to the elders. So this idea of you summoning me while you sit back against the wall or hang out and relax and say, yeah, hey, get over here, yo Shaykh, and you summon me over, this is completely unacceptable. Now you might be thinking, this is a one-time event. No, this didn't happen once, this didn't happen twice, this didn't happen three times. This is a consistent pattern. And I have to explain to them that, young man, number one, you're supposed to begin with salam. And number two, even before you begin with salam, you're supposed to get up and come see me, I don't go see you. This is part of decent etiquette that we are supposed to teach our youth and parents. I don't know when we stopped teaching these things. I'm honestly asking, when did we stop instilling these values into our youth? When did this go away? Now, if anybody's saying, brother, you know, this seems a little bit basic, I know. Personally, I enjoy giving khutbahs that are a little bit more complex, that try to talk about subjects that are a little bit heavier and, you know, that are more interesting. But subhanAllah, if this is where we're at, If this is what we needs to be taught, if the parents aren't instilling the kids with this basic concept of saying assalamu alaikum and getting up and going to see their elders, instead they are summoning them like they think those who are older work for them, like they are some sort of a king and these are all their servants, this is completely unacceptable. Parents, I'm asking you, I want to help. I want us to have more events. I want us and all the organizers to benefit our youth, but you need to do your part. It is not sufficient. And this is not, it is not sufficient that you just throw your kids to us and expect us to do the rest. You have to do your part. And this is not something that is a personal vendetta. Oh, it happened to me, therefore I'm offended. I'm telling you there, I tried to explain to these youth that look, I'm over double your age. You should have a little bit more respect. But there are those that are triple and quadruple, three and four times more these kids' ages, and they're still treating them the same way. Yo, get me this. Hey, do that. SubhanAllah, parents, what is going on? When did we stop teaching our kids to show respect to our elders? And furthermore, I try to explain to this to these young kids, not only do you begin with salam, not only should you get up and walk to your elders, but furthermore, you don't say, where can I get a water bottle? You're supposed to begin with please, and you're supposed to end with thank you. Again, parents, I don't know what is lacking. I don't know what the issue is that we are not teaching our kids these basic concepts of etiquette. Can I please know? Can you please tell me where can I get a water bottle? Oh yeah, it's over there. Thank you very much. I'm trying to explain to these kids just basically how to be a person in life. This is extremely concerning. And I'm hoping that we as parents say, you know what? Enough is enough. We have to start instilling decent adab and qualities into our kids. Decent character. We know that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a companion who spent so much time with the Prophet ﷺ and learned from the Prophet ﷺ for many, many years. And from what he learned of the Prophet ﷺ, he has a beautiful statement. Umar makes a statement and he says what? Ta'addabu thumma ta'allamu. Umar says what? He says, learn manners and then learn knowledge. This hadith, this statement from this khabar, this narration from Umar is a beautiful concept. And it could be understood from multiple perspectives. One of them is, learn Islamic knowledge only after you've learned good character. Why? Because if you become knowledgeable in Islam and you don't have good character, you're going to make Islam look cheap. You're going to make people despise those who are knowledgeable, those who have memorized the Quran, those who know hadith, because these people have no good character. So make sure your character is good first, then start studying Islamic knowledge. But even if we don't relegate this ta'allamu, this command to learn, we don't relegate it to Islamic knowledge, we say any type of knowledge, it's still relevant and it's still true. Why? Because knowledge is power. When you study physics and chemistry and mathematics and all these different subjects, knowledge is power. And power without ethics is actually very dangerous. To give you a very simple example, nuclear power, when you study physics, you can develop nuclear power so that you can power a city. But you can also create a nuclear bomb and destroy that same city. So which one are you going to do? With knowledge, knowledge unguided can either be great or terrible. So first you need what? Ethics. First you have to have good conduct and character and good morals, then become knowledgeable, because that knowledge is power and that power can be either great or terrible. Hence the expression, ta'addabu thumma ta'allamu. So parents, I'm challenging you. This is my challenge to all the parents for this week. Speak to your kids and tell them, I don't care about your grades until your teachers say that you're the most respectful kid in class. Try this out. Try it out. Tell them, I don't care if you got 100% and I don't care if you got 0% in math or chemistry or physics or whatever the case may be. I'm not concerned about those grades until I know that I've spoken to your teachers and they say you have good adab, you have good character, you're respectful of your elders, you're respectful of the classroom. Until that moment comes, don't talk to me about your grades. I don't care if you're the genius, I don't care if you're got the worst grades, you got a complete zero. I'm not interested until I know about your adab. This is how we can apply these beautiful teachings from that the Sahaba got from the Prophet ﷺ. This is how we can implement them, by learning these priorities. And once we can do that, then inshallah ta'ala, these type of get-togethers and these type of youth events will go a lot more smoothly, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said what? Al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. That there is barakah, there is blessings with your elderly, with those who are older. And what does this imply? This means that we are supposed to instill our youth with a sense of reverence for the older generation, recognizing that they have experience and wisdom and knowledge. They've been around longer. They've seen the world go through patterns over and over again. They've recognized the patterns, and now they understand the way the world works much better than you, oh young man, oh young sister. So we need to learn from those who have experience. As the expression goes, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Learn from your elders. They've been through more history. They've witnessed more of it. And unfortunately, again, what we're finding amongst the youth is that this level of respect is simply lacking. That's point number one, respect for elders. Point number two is what? Lying. There was about somewhere between 10 to 15 volunteers, and I went around asking, what should we learn? What did we learn from this event? The most consistent answer was what? Lying. That there are kids don't seem to care about the truth very much. This is petrifying. This is not a one person said this, oh, this happened one time, a few bad apples, whatever the case is. No. Subhanallah, this seems to be a consistent pattern. Personally, I can tell you that when I was young, again, this seemed to be standard, that parents would teach these important values. You have to be truthful. Why? Because when somebody lies even once, everything they say after that becomes in question. Why should anybody waste their time having a conversation with a liar when you don't know what they're saying, if it's true or not? So therefore, liars don't deserve to be listened to because you don't know whether their speech is truthful or not. Therefore, lying drops a person in terms of their value as a human being to somebody who shouldn't even be listened to. I thought this was standard, that parents would teach these things and say, listen, you need to be someone who speaks the truth. Otherwise, you have no value as a human being. All you have is your word in life. This is all you have. One brother came to me and said, Subhanallah. He said, one time in my life, somebody said to me, I think you're lying. And Subhanallah, his attitude was, he was so offended. You think I would lie for you? You better come with a gun or a knife. You better do something. Why would I lie for you? Who are you? How can you threaten me? Allah Ta'ala is the one who tells me to be truthful. Who are you that I have to lie for you? What can you threaten me with? We have to teach our kids that your truthfulness, the truth of your words, that's your honor. To break that. And Subhanallah, these kids are lying left and right. Subhanallah, this is the most consistent complaint, that these kids lie. Not even just a small lie, persistently bold-faced, obvious lies. And the organizer was saying, we can't maintain a game. We can't keep any game going if everybody keeps breaking the rules, they keep cheating, and every time they get caught, doesn't matter how many witnesses there are, look man, we saw you were cheating. No, you're out. You can't play this game. No. They just keep lying. Look, 10 guys saw it. We have it on camera. We had a cameraman that day. Everything, we know you're lying. No. Oh, not just one, not two. This is a consistent pattern. They don't care. And I have to ask, what is going on with the parents? Why are we not teaching our kids that the Prophet ﷺ said something so amazing? Arba'un idha kunna fika fala alayka ma fataka min ad-dunya. There are four qualities that if you have them, then you don't have to worry about what is going to miss you of the world. In other words, sometimes your car breaks down, sometimes, I don't know, there's a disaster, bad weather conditions, you lose a job, you go through a divorce, bad things happen in life. But guess what? If you have these four qualities, you'll be able to bounce back. Beautiful hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And what are these four qualities? حِفْظُ أَمَانَةٍ وَصِدْقُ حَدِيثٍ وَحُسْنُ خَلِيقَةٍ وَعِفَّةُ تُعْمَةٍ. These four qualities are what? Fulfilling your trust, being truthful in speech, having good character, and having restraint when it comes to food. But if we are feeding our kids junk food and they have no constraint over what they eat, if they are disrespectful to their elders and they don't have good character, and if they speak words that are lies so consistently that you can't trust them and you can't believe them, then parents, we have failed in all four. So are they ready for a world to be sent into the world as adults? The answer is no. The answer is no. We are failing as parents to teach them the basic qualities that is going to help them to survive this world. Subhanallah. Parents, if your kids, if they have the reaction to instinctually lie, if every time something happens, hey, why'd you do that? No, I didn't. No, I didn't take that. I didn't touch that. And they just instinctually lie. Then the most likely scenario is that these parents aren't interested in an explanation. They just get mad. They don't want to hear what the kid has to say. So parents, if you find that your kid is lying more and more often, perhaps it's the case that what you need to do is say, listen, you can talk to me. You can tell me, why did you do this? How did you get yourself in this scenario? What were you thinking? It's okay. You can talk to me. We need to be there for our kids, not just be comfortable with the idea that they are lying day in and day out. Subhanallah. May Allah save us from this terrible disaster. And even worse, subhanallah, is when the parents are the ones teaching the kids to lie. Some of the organizers were telling me, look, we have an age limit. The kids that were invited for the lock-in for the event that night, it was from this age to this age. But there are parents that are coming and dropping off their kids and saying, no, he's of the age, when obviously that's not true. Lying. Lying in the masjid. Lying to the masjid organizers. Now, what do you think the kid is learning from that? What do you think the kid is understanding from this? They're learning how to lie from the parents themselves. And we have to start asking ourselves, and this is a question that we were discussing as organizers, is it going to get to the point that everybody has to bring an ID? Can you imagine we're just trying to have a nice, fun kids event, but now we're going to have to require either your passport or your ID or your birth certificate? SubhanAllah, is this a masjid or the DMV? We're supposed to be like innamal mu'minuna ikhwah. We're supposed to be a brotherhood. We're supposed to be able to trust one another. But if the kids are lying and then you find out, oh, they're learning it from the parents, now we understand where the problem is. There's a beautiful Latin proverb, what? Dictum mem pactum. My word is my bond. What does this mean? This used to indicate that one would always do what they have promised. What I say is true. My word is my bond. Why aren't we teaching this to our kids? Why aren't we teaching them that Allah Ta'ala commands them? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Oh, you who have believed. Oh, believers. Oh, you have believed what? Fear Allah with regards to what? And be amongst those who are truthful. Be amongst those who speak the truth. Don't be a liar. Fear Allah with regards to your tongue. Fear Allah with regards to what you say. This is an amanah. This is a trust. You break that, your words are valueless. May Allah protect us. So inshallah, the first two are respect for elders, and the number two is what? Lying. And inshallah ta'ala will continue with the third point in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam sallam kathira. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. The third point, and there are many points, there are many other points, but we're just going to stick with three inshallah for the sake of time. The third point that was consistent with all of the organizers that we really need to address as a community, and we need to talk about to all the parents, is this concept of what? Consequences. Consequences. What is an ultimatum? An ultimatum is essentially a demand, the rejection of which results in retaliation. Do this, and if you don't, these are the consequences, right? So a simple example would be, clean your room. I've asked you to clean your room 5 times now, and you just keep sitting there and playing your Xbox. I'm getting sick and tired of you playing your Xbox, so this is what's going to happen. You have 1 hour to clean your room. If I come back within an hour and you're still playing your Xbox, I'm going to grab the hammer and smash it to little bits. This is much better than smashing the kid, inshallah. Please, no, let's be nice to our kids. The Xbox, though, no, bismillah. Maybe it's going to be the best thing you did all week, all month, maybe even all year, breaking the little shaitan box, inshallah. So, my point is this. You give them the ultimatum. Now, if the kid does it, alhamdulillah, he cleaned his room. Fantastic. But unfortunately, it seems to be the case that most of these kids, many of these kids, they do not understand the concept of consequences. So, we can only assume that what's happening in the home is parents come back after an hour, they see the kid is still playing his video games, and they say, okay, I'm going to go to the garage, I'm going to grab the hammer. No, I'm going to start now. No, it's okay, I'm going to start now. And then what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Something breaks. Something is going to break. It's either going to be the Xbox, or it's going to be your word. That's in the hands of the parents to figure out. I am not suggesting to be harsh. Please listen to me. I'm not asking you to be harsh. I'm asking you to be firm. There's a difference between the two. Being harsh or over the top is not good. Overly emotional. Making promises you can't keep. If you don't do this, I'm going to burn this house down. You're not going to burn the house down. It's just emotional. I'm saying be clear and be firm. In 1 hour, if you don't do this, and I'm going to break the Xbox, something is going to break. The question I want to ask the parents is this. What's more valuable, the Xbox or your word? This might give us some insight into why it is the case that kids are so comfortable lying. Maybe because they're learning to lie from their parents. Because every time you say, I'm going to do this, and you don't fulfill your word, what did you just teach them? Lying. They broke you. They broke your word. And now, what is the result of this? These kids don't understand consequences, and we are seeing a lot of that, unfortunately, within our youth. We organize an event, we say, listen, these are the parameters, these are the rules, and what is their mentality? The rules are for everybody except me. And it's very difficult to try to organize anything when this is the attitude that has been instilled within these kids. Where do they get it from? I'm looking at you, parents. Please, Consequences have to be real. You have to be firm. Don't let them break you. Don't let them turn you into liars. We are trying to prepare our children for the real world. We're not trying to poison their minds and making them enter into the world with an inflated ego, with a sense of entitlement, as spoiled children that think that the world revolves around them. This is extremely dangerous. You're not doing your kids any favors by creating rules and then breaking your word over and over and over again. This is not a favor to your kid. This is a poison in their mind that's only going to make things worse. You have to ask yourself, who is in charge of your house? Is it them or is it you? Who calls the shots? We know that the hadith, Jibreel, in which the Prophet ﷺ is asked, what are the signs of judgment day? He says what? أَن تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that the slave girl will give birth to her master. What is the interpretation of this hadith? There's much commentary on this. This is understood in multiple ways. But one way is what? That parents will have children, and then who is the master? The kid is. Who is the slave? The parents are. And this is the incredible thing about all the ahadith, about alamat al-sa'ah, about the signs of judgment day, is that you'll always find things are upside down. So, for instance, it talks about the barefoot, destitute goat herder will be competing. They'll be competing in building the tallest buildings. Why are the most Bedouin people, the people that seem the least educated and that have the least reason to have competition for such great things, why are they the ones competing? You see, it's backwards. It should be those who are wise and knowledgeable, etc. And same thing with what? Many different other ahadith that talk about Judgment Day and say some of the signs of Judgment Day is that the leaders of people, the politicians, will be the worst of people. You're supposed to put the person in charge who is the best of you, not the worst of you. And subhanAllah, I don't need to go into details about politics. We know that often it is unfortunately the case that the people who are in the highest positions, they're the people that least deserve to be there. May Allah protect us from evil politicians. So we can look at the politicians and point to them and get upset that they're in charge. And why is it that as a country, this is the best we got? You hear that often during election season. But then at the same time, you go to the household and you find what? Parents are the slaves and the children are the masters. So why are you complaining on the macro scale when on the micro scale it's the exact same problem? Do you guys see the point? If the same problem is being manifested in the home, that's the roots, that's where it grows from, and then it only goes up from there until the public position. Again, I'm not suggesting be overly mean and harsh with your children. I'm saying be firm and make sure that you maintain some parameters. Don't let them make you into a liar. Don't let them break you. You have to say, listen, I told you that I was going to break this Xbox in an hour. I'm not mad. I'm not screaming. I'm not doing this out of emotion, but I will not be made into a liar. I will not allow myself to break my word. If I do that, I'm betraying Allah Ta'ala, betraying myself, my own dignity, my own tongue, my own ability to speak, and I'm being a terrible example to you. I cannot do that. If I told you these are the parameters, you should have cleaned your room. You didn't do it? Now we both have to watch the consequences because I will not be broken. This is truthfulness that we need to teach to our kids. So yes, there are many other topics that we can talk about. That night, unfortunately, there were many things like swearing, a lot of swearing. Unfortunately, our youth seem to be, swear words flow from them like so comfortably. And then you realize, wait a second, they're in the masjid. It's even worse. And then I realize, oh, wait a second, I'm the imam. So they're swearing in front of me, in front of the imam, in the masjid. SubhanAllah, parents, what is happening with our youth? I mean, I don't remember this. When I was younger, first of all, when you go to the masjid, that's when you try to clean things up. When the imam walks in, that's when you really clean things up. I'm not saying, it's not about me. Please don't take it that way. But I have to remind myself, I have a position here, but it seems that doesn't have an effect. May Allah protect us. Cleaning up after oneself is a big important topic as well. Kids making a gigantic mess in the masjid and expecting others to clean it up for them. This is a very bad habit. And of course, watching haram things on their phones in the masjid itself. This is again, another huge problem. Personally, I think we need to ask ourselves as parents, does every 12-year-old need a $1,000 phone? Is this really necessary? Why are we giving our kids these things? Does every 12 and 13-year-old need these machines that are designed to be as addictive as possible? You have geniuses round the clock in Silicon Valley trying to figure out how to make these things more and more and more addictive. And then we give them to our kids at such a tender young age when their brains haven't developed yet. And then we say, I don't understand what happened. I don't understand where the problem. Can he buy a $1,000 phone on his own? No. So who put it in his hands? SubhanAllah. So anyway, these are side points. The main points that I want to talk about though are just in summary, respect for elders. Start with salam. Say salamu alaykum. Get up, walk up to those who are older than you. Use words like please and thank you, especially when you're talking to those who are older than you. Stop lying and parents, please teach these kids a sense of consequence. If we can do this, then inshallah ta'ala, we can have lots more events and these events will go a lot smoother. But parents need to do their part. So may Allah ta'ala make us of those who are truthful. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who are firm in our resolve and that don't just break our word easily. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who know how to respect one another. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who have good speech and can set a good example for those around us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.